Welcome to the Money Advantage Podcast, empowering business owners with the permission to think differently about money so that you can consciously choose to live a meaningful and fulfilled life now. Our passion is making money simple, fun, and doable, helping you feel great about your money and getting your money working for you so you can thrive. Hi, and welcome back to the Money Advantage Podcast. We are your hosts, Bruce Wehner and Rachel Marshall. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, Bruce. It's so great to be talking to you today.
Today, Rachel, we want to talk a little bit about your story. We want the listeners to understand how you got in this business, how it affects your life, how it affects your family, and what kind of things that you do to build your business in a self-sustaining way so that you are inspired to keep that business growing for your entire life.
Well, that is awesome. I'm really happy to be sharing my story today. Thank you, Bruce.
I think what we're going to do here is I'm going to ask you a few questions. And Rachel, we'd like you to talk to the listeners in our community about things that your company has done and how you serve your business community.
Well, thank you. So I am the owner and president of Marshall's Insurance and Financial Services. And my husband and I started the company about 6 years ago when my daughter was born and we decided to start our own business. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But really what we do is we help people to get their money working for them, increase their cash flow, reduce their risk, and really give them permission to be able to use their money along the way. I really feel that one of the most important gifts that I can give to my clients is this ability to have financial stability and to be able to weather any type of future, whether that be uncertainty in any way, and really have more options no matter how things turn out for them.
I noticed that you and Lucas actually have a process that you take people through. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that process?
Yes. And part of that process we've learned from you guys at E3 as well. And so it's been very helpful for us in talking with our clients that we help them first to really do an analysis and a discovery on what is important to them. What goals do they have that they want to accomplish in their life outside of just their finances? Sometimes people think we're just going to talk about money, and really it's connected to the much bigger picture of their life ambitions and their goals and dreams that they have for themselves. And that's really important for me to understand as I'm helping them to craft a money system that fits with their life mission and purpose. And so that's where we really start with a conversation with our clients. From that,
I think that the nice thing about your process, I'm flattered that you think we help you develop it, but I do see some of our processes are mirrored image in yours. But the nice thing about our processes is that we do not see money as just numbers. We actually see money as an emotional state that people have to either ride in a wave of terrific positive emotion, or unfortunately, a lot of people ride in a wave of negative emotion. And I think what you guys do, you've taken what we have started in our initial conversations, and you've actually have a process where people can actually take themselves through this wave of emotion.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate you sharing that. And that's going to be part of the next podcast that we talk about as well, this kind of difference in position and focus on being either in a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset. And really, we can't have those negative emotions of fear and worry and doubt and all of that driving our life if we're walking in abundance. And so I'm going to share a little bit about how we came to that understanding in our business, and then also what that means on a bigger picture in terms of how to have solid financial philosophy and principles guiding your life in our next episode. But kind of going along with what you just shared about the positive and negative emotions, it's really important to start with that idea of what somebody wants to accomplish with their life and finances. And then from that position, we will walk them through a financial picture conversation. And this is really helping them to look at their financial situation where they stand today with no judgment, just objectively, and saying, where is money flowing into my control and where is money flowing out of my control? And really be able to understand what the purpose of their money is. Mm-hmm. From that position, we then help them to identify strategies that they can use to get more dollars flowing back into their control so that they have more cash flow and control. Those are two things that are key and critical for me and also for the clients that we serve. And then from that position, we're going to help them get to an end result where they have more money to use in their lifetime and more to pass on as well.
Yeah. I think what our listeners need to realize is that the reason business owners kind of gravitate to us is that they really have this sense that control is really important in their lives. And yet, traditional or typical financial planning actually teaches even business owners to lose control of their cash flow, whether it's times of need or times of opportunity. And that's what I keep telling people is what you're going to find is when you have control of cash, opportunity tends to find you. So that's a...
Absolutely.
That's a... I think you and Lucas actually have grown in that position where you found some opportunities in your life. But let's talk about how you guys were before you decided to do the work you're actually doing today. What were you guys doing before?
That's a great question. From my childhood, I've always been a person that loved this epic meaning and connecting with people. So I tended to do things wholeheartedly with all of my heart. So it was just kind of interesting looking back. I grew up on a farm in Minnesota. I was the oldest of four children. I rode horses and I drove a tractor and baled hay and really learned a good work ethic from a young age. I was involved in 4-H for, I believe it was about 11 years and competed, went to state several times, specifically with barrel racing. So that was,
We have a girl that works in our office as a barrel racer.
That's awesome. It was thrilling. It really was. It really taught me a lot about competition, about working together with people and really pushing myself to succeed, but then also being coachable. That was a really important thing that I learned through that. But just kind of this interesting thread wove itself through my childhood. And it was this idea that 4-H to me and all of the things that I was involved in was really more than just a project. It was something I had written was that it was a window into greater levels of knowledge, determination, personal development, perseverance, and effort, which involves making friends, learning new skills, and having fun. I just thought that was interesting. I look back, I think I'd written that when I was about 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
So I can follow that same thread of meaning and connection and passion through everything that I've done in my background. So really from being young, I then ended up graduating from high school and a two-year degree in college at the same time. I moved down to Texas from Minnesota. I joined a ministry training program. I was there for about 4 years. And during that time, I was spending time speaking and mentoring and training and leading other students in missions. Really what was driving me to that is calling out the greatness in my generation. And so that's been another thread that I can look at throughout my life. After that, I ended up serving on staff at a church. I was part of leading an entire team of about 90 volunteers to greet and welcome people as they came into the church and help them through an education process to get connected. And so looking at that was, I guess the main things were working with people, inspiring people, and getting people to work together. I ended up studying psychology and business, and I really felt drawn to marriage and family therapy. And the interesting thing about that is that it's always been about people and serving people. And I find a lot of the skill sets that I developed, whether it was curriculum development or teaching or talking with people, I find that those threads have been very prominent and important in the work that I do with clients now. And so I ended up finding myself in business and human resource management. I was there about 3 years. I loved the people aspect, really training and developing people to reach their fullest potential. And so it took me a while through that experience to really realize that influence didn't have to come from a powerful title and position. And so I wanted to also just kind of point to one thing that was really influential to me. I was in eighth grade, and my parents wanted me to read Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad book. And at that age, I started thinking to myself, this is really important for me to want to be in this position of business ownership and being an investor, having money work for me, not just being an employee or being self-employed and having myself trading time for dollars. And so as I look back, that was really important for my growth and development and has really shaped who I've become today.
How did you actually get into the wealth industry?
That's a really great question. So Lucas and I have been married over 11 years now. But when we were dating, we started talking about what can we do to build a business and be able to set ourselves up for financial freedom and independence. And so that idea kept mulling around in our minds for the course of about 5 years until we actually started our business. And at the time we started was actually, we started a health insurance agency and we paid somebody for mentoring so that we could learn the industry and learn how to serve people with health insurance needs. And the interesting thing about that is that we didn't get the best training at all. We spent a lot of money. It was probably a waste of money, but it did give us this thing to take action on and move forward. And so while I look back and say that probably wasn't the right first step, it was a step. So we've had a lot of those, and that's going to be a common theme in our history. But through working with business owners in their health insurance needs, we realized that there was a much greater need for really understanding money and finances, not just serving them with a contractual transactional relationship of health insurance, as you had kind of talked about in your story last time we talked as well. And so along this same time frame, we'd seen the crash of 2008 happening. Lucas started reading a lot of books about sound money and Austrian economics and really digging into what money means and how to make it really work for you in a way that sets you up for confidence and freedom. And so we ended up really wanting to have personal guarantees and control in our lives. And we ended up, because of that, coming across several things with insurance and financial products that we implemented in our lives. And then from that position, we said, we want to be able to take this to other people. And so one of those was also cash value life insurance, which is something that was a common theme in your history as well that you'd shared last week.
Yes. You know, I think the listeners have to realize is that what we're trying to do in this podcast is not be the experts on everything, but we're going to share with you not only things that we've done in our business lives that were good and some that actually were learning experiences, but also the stories of the business owners that we work with so that they get a accelerated learning curve. That's a little cliche-ish in a lot of people think, but I do think anytime you can accelerate your learning curve, that's when real wealth building in your life happens. And I know we're going to talk about this in another episode, but when we talk about wealth building, Rachel, you and I have this idea that wealth building is not just how much money you build up, but also about your education in your life, your emotional wealth building, and your family wealth building. So I think that was what kind of drew you to our organization, is that we were trying to help financial services industry actually transform so that you could bring freedoms in your life in the form of, more freedom of time, more freedom that you get in your relationships, the freedom that money brings to you as far as building your business, the freedom just to have interactions with people that are like-minded. And that's what I think we're trying to do in this podcast. So are there any other things that you'd like to share with the listeners about along the way, things that didn't go as well as you and Lucas had hoped to, and maybe you can talk about the last 4 or 5 years about how you've gone from being in the healthcare industry to now doing these podcasts for business owners.
Very awesome. And thank you for asking that question. So yes, we absolutely started in business, and everything that has propelled us forward has been this desire to really be able to provide an excellent, amazing life for our daughter that we're raising, to have a wonderful family experiences, to really be able to live life to the fullest for ourselves. And the definition of that has certainly changed over time as we've learned a lot. I do want to talk about how we have learned and stayed open to a learning process, which has brought us to where we are today. And that question was wonderful. So as we started in business, we had kind of two things happening. One was our mindset in business, and the other thing was our mindset in our personal finances. And I'm going to show you how they went hand in hand. So our mindset in business was, we need to make money. We need to be financially solvent and financially free. And it was really all about what we could create for ourselves. In our personal financial life, about this time, we had gone through a long phase of time that we had lived in scarcity ourselves. I had been making great money, and so had Lucas during the years that I was working in human resources. And we're bringing in wonderful money into our household, but we didn't live like it at all. We didn't really spend on vacations. We rarely bought clothes. We kind of acted like we were poor. And now we saved up a lot of money, but we were thinking strictly from this position of how much can we save? What can we pile away for the future? And how can we accumulate money? So we had this shift from saying, that is not going to work. That's not going to help us really accomplish our goals of financial freedom. So as I'm talking about on the business side, I want to hone in there for a little bit. So we first were buying leads to sell health insurance. And we realized that really wasn't my strength. I really didn't like cold calling and picking up the phone and being the eighth person who had called this person who inquired about health insurance. And so we tried to kind of move towards more of a referral-based system, just really serve the people that we had in front of us really well and hope for referrals. And we grew business, not huge, but we grew some business with health insurance. And then we came to a position where Lucas was sharing. We came across another mentor. We've had several different mentors along the way, and we've kind of up-leveled every time that we step out and choose to learn something new. But at that time, we had just learned about a product pitch, how to talk to somebody and tell them everything they needed to know about life insurance. This was after we had personally gone through a process of learning about life insurance and implementing it in our own lives, cash value, life insurance at this point. And we wanted to be able to serve other people with what we had discovered and how valuable it was in terms of having a place to store your cash that's actually growing for you. The problem was it didn't really work just to tell people about product benefits and really be able to resonate with someone. About that time, we got connected with a sales training organization that did some DISC profiling on both Lucas and I. And so we've both been together in business for a while, but we had Lucas doing all of the work with clients at that time. And I was going out and doing the networking, obtaining the meetings. We realized that I had the personality, it's called I personality, but this is the higher energy and people-oriented side, where Lucas is the direct opposite, and he really is more so on the more reserved position, but then also more so task-oriented. And we've both grown tremendously over the past 5 years, but really realizing that part of our nature, the gentleman looked straight across the table and said to me, Rachel, you're the one who needs to be selling. And I said, oh my goodness, I don't want to do this at all. So that allowed us to really make a big shift and put me at the forefront of talking with clients. From that position, we decided that we wanted to create something that we could, a program to send people through. So we spent a long amount of hours and days and weeks and months putting together a program for clients to go through that was educational and consulting and coaching. And really, again, here we were taking the advice from the sales training and trying to implement this. But while we were taking action, we were really slow to implement over time. And we spent a lot of time and energy trying to make something perfect before we really acted on it. Mm-hmm. And so rather than just meeting with people and figuring out how we could serve them and changing according to what we found the needs of business owners as we were discussing their needs with them, we tried to make this perfect package that we could then deliver. Yeah. And so we weren't continually innovating, and we ended up really having a lot of challenges getting that off the ground. So again, we were taking action, very imperfect action, a lot of failures, a lot of struggle, a lot of dead time in a way where we're creating this content, but not really working with people. And so through that process, then we ended up, I want to say probably the next main primary step was really getting connected with you guys. And we, at the time, were looking to build a team. We had built a good part of a team already in terms of having a good accountant and a good tax strategist on our team and a good attorney to make sure that our clients are set up with their estate planning and their business legal planning needs. But really, we were in this position where we wanted to learn from somebody who was working in the same capacity that we were, but was ahead of us in the process. And Lucas recognized that instantly when he listened to you guys over those teleseminars and said, we really need to get connected with these guys at E3. And that has just been really valuable to us in terms of figuring out how we serve people one person at a time, really making sure that we're delivering a tremendous amount of value, providing education, but meeting that person where they're at, not necessarily just saying, here, we know what this needs to look like at the end goal for someone, but really meeting them where they're at.
Mm-hmm. So for the listeners, we have an event in St. Louis called the Freedom Advisor Live Experience, and it's really targeted towards the financial services industry, for the financial services industry person that feels like they're a rugged individualist, and they're really seeking to figure out a way to build a team around them, what we call an integrated resource network. And so that's what Rachel was referring to, as she had pieces of that integrated resource network. But I think they joined our movement because they realized the financial services industry was kind of broken. And it was really about the financial services industry telling people, this is what we have to offer and this is why you should do it, instead of actually sitting down, building a relationship with people and figuring out not only what they wanted to do and how they wanted to proceed, but then changing that process along the way. As what I often say to my clients, well, we're just going to point you on a railroad track down the road, but we can get off at any station we want along the way, because life does get in the way. And that gets back to control. And so when you guys met with us almost 2 years ago in St. Louis for our event, it was very evident that you guys had the same mindset that we had, and we were also excited to join up with you. And you know, we have conversations a couple times a month. Mm-hmm. But what I'm excited about as you go forward, and I don't know a lot about this yet, but can you tell the listeners a little bit about where you are now? And if I say this wrong, Rachel, I apologize. But kind of with the business financing, I think in your area with those networking groups that you're working with, maybe the Chamber of Commerce, I think our business owners would like to know that.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah. So I want to talk about that. And then there's another piece that I really want to pull in as well, just kind of our personal transition from that scarcity to more of an abundance mindset. So, but yes, as I'll just share right now with where we are. So we serve clients individually and really help them to be able to understand their cash flow needs and really be able to improve and give more, have more cash flow and have more control in their life. So we're doing individual meetings with clients on a regular basis. We also, I've really done a lot more in terms of speaking and educating, which is really where I love kind of falling into my niche of really being able to help somebody learn. And I'm coming kind of from a teacher perspective, but then also from a consulting and coaching perspective to help people really think through their money mindset and the way that they handle money. So a couple of things have been really valuable. I've been working with a couple of organizations. One has been the SBA here in, well, it's for the US SBA, the Small Business Administration, but also an organization that I'm part of called Women in Defense. It's an organization that really supports women business owners in positions that contract with defense. But through those relationships, I've been able to speak on how to finance your business in an alternative way that really has you in a position of not just paying interest, whether you are financing and paying a financing cost, not just giving up the ability to earn interest by paying cash for something, but really to be in a position where you keep control of your money, earn interest, don't give up the compounding on that interest, and you're able to leverage and borrow against it. And so the feedback that I've gotten from that has just been really tremendously valuable in terms of helping business owners be in a position that is more able to get the financing that they're looking for when they do go to the bank or financial institution looking for a loan or a line of credit, because they have that stability behind them. They have strong cash flow and they have collateral in their control. And so because of that, I've been developing relationships with business bankers here locally and have been asked to put on a speaking, we're calling it the Business Funding Exposé, And that is just locally for here in Hampton Roads, Virginia. But it's really to bring together many different sources of financing capital for your business, whether it be investor capital or loan financing or other alternative options or even leasing or accounts receivable financing, and really be able to provide all of these options for business owners and help them to think through how do they finance that increases their cash flow and their control as much as possible.
And then you mentioned that you'd like to share a little bit about how your own personal journey has gone. What kind of stories would you like to share with the listeners that they may find valuable?
Well, I just wanted to share that, and I alluded to this earlier, in our personal financial life, we had, as I had mentioned, we had a good amount of income, but we were living like we had no money. And what we really did wrong, I want you to learn from so that you don't make the same mistakes as you're moving into your life in a healthy way. So we really made the tragic mistake of devoting all of our resources to really hoarding and speculation. So what we ended up doing is about half of our money we put into precious metals over the course of about 2 to 3 years. And we were looking at the decline of the dollar. We were looking at inflation. We were looking at the Federal Reserve printing money. And we were saying, how do we make sure that we have long-term store of value? But a couple problems arose from that. One is that the price of gold and silver continued to double and skyrocket until it stopped, of course, and the price started dropping down again. And so we were not thinking from a healthy perspective of how do we have our capital in our control in a way that it is usable. We were just thinking, how do we store up money that will be in the future a greater value? The problem was we realized later that we were speculating with gold and silver, and that comes down and up just the same way that the stock market can roller coaster ride. And so we didn't really have access to the capital. We started our business then, and we had capital, but it wasn't in a good place of an opportunity fund. So when we wanted to use our money to invest in our business to get that going off the ground, we realized the price of precious metals was significantly down and it was not a good time to divest those resources. And so we really took a hit in that way because we had not thought through how do we have an emergency fund and an opportunity fund that we can access and use. We weren't thinking of using money to be able to put into production. We were just thinking of how do we hoard money to accumulate. It wasn't effective. We were trying to figure out how to reconcile the Robert Kiyosaki idea with business ownership, but we also were not putting our assets to the greatest use. So that was one of the main things that we learned. We realized that we were kind of building this nest egg. We were going about it in a non-traditional way. We were not comfortable at all putting money into 401ks or anything connected with the stock market, which I'm thankful that we didn't, because we would have had that roller coaster that happened around 2008. But at the same time, it made our business and life a lot more difficult because we were focused on the money and not developing our greatest asset, which was really us. And so we have really, as a result of that, realized that when you focus on your own personal survival and just making ends meet for yourself, you're not thinking about how you can provide value to more people. We weren't thinking about how we can serve in our greatest capacity. We were just thinking, how do we build our business? How do we get our business sustainable? And so really working through those mindsets and ideas helped us when we met you guys. You introduced us to a wonderful book called The Go-Giver by Bob Berg and John David Mann. I'd highly recommend it to anyone who's listening. That really helped us to focus on creating value and figure out that our greatest value was how we serve and contribute to other people's lives. And when our focus turned away from just saying, how do we accumulate money and preserve ourselves, to how do we give and accelerate value for other people, we started freeing up our own mind to be more creative and to really use our gifts and skills and abilities instead of just hunkering down, to really be able to share information and knowledge that's beneficial and helping people. And that's really where this podcast has come from. I have a strong desire to really be able to help people understand how to have cash flow and control. And we realize that money is much greater than just the finances. It's the emotion, it's the belief system, it's everything that goes behind that. And so really providing an education in many different facets and forms that people want to be able to learn from. So we've been doing video blogging for a while as well, speaking locally. And then the podcast is just kind of an outflow of wanting to be able to serve as many people as we can to really increase that knowledge and control.
Yeah, the one thing that you said to the listeners that I want to repeat, because I don't think many people understand this. I think business owners have a sense, but they don't act upon it, is that your greatest asset in your life is you yourself. And so mm-hmm. whatever you can do to continue to make yourself better is actually going to, it's going to benefit, your entire business is going to benefit. One of the sayings I have when I'm talking to a business owner is that we want to get you to stop working in your business and start working on your business. That'll be the greatest return of your investment. So,
absolutely.
There's been a fascinating story along the way for you and Lucas. And I think the main thing for our listeners is they really have to focus on the fact that it's really about the mind shifts that you two had over the fact of a scarcity accumulation mindset and actually building a process. I still see that sneaking in every once in a while with you two. I am so glad to hear that you guys are working on that. My philosophy, you heard me say this several dozen times, is that we want to get this at about 80%, and then we want to go with it, and we want to work with it. It's just like when you think about it, it's just like when you work with our clients, when we work with our clients in business, we have to be able to get our business processes up to about 80%, and then we have to shift with the changing climate. And if you don't shift with the changing climate, then you're really susceptible to what they call, what Dan Sullivan, one of my disciples, mentors, or I'm a disciple of him, one of my mentors, Dan Sullivan says, if you do not continually innovate, you're very susceptible to creative disruption. And we're seeing that right now with some of the biggest companies in the world doing creative disruption, such as Apple and Amazon. So people have to continually innovate in their business. I don't care if they're just some small car repair business on the corner somewhere, or if they're a big multi-billion-dollar industry. You have to always look at that. As we kind of finish this up, I think one of the things that we at E3 try to tell people is that this buzzword of education, and you used that several times during the your broadcast, this buzzword of education is actually becoming more mainstream in the financial services industry. But as our listeners are listening to people educate them, they have to ask themselves, are they educating me to help me make a decision? Are they educating me to make the decision that they want me to make? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very powerful thing for people to listen to, even as they listen to you and I on this podcast. It's why are we educating people? Because are we trying to get them to think a certain way because it would benefit us? Are we trying to get them to think a certain way because it's going to benefit themselves? So that should be something that everybody should be looking at when they're trying to educate or listen to somebody educating, because education brings along confidence with people. When you're truly giving them education to help them make the decision, and when they have that confidence, then people can take action. When you take action, suddenly the scarcity mindset kind of goes away because you're confident to take that action. And when you take that action and things work well for you, then you've built up some trust. Not only trust in yourself, but trust in the person that's giving you that education. But I want to focus on trust in yourself. When you have trust in yourself, then the scarcity mindset actually goes away, because you know that you can take on anything, any situation, and make changes. So I hope that by getting to know us, Rachel, you and this podcast, and myself in the last podcast, we're going to give people the opportunity to give themselves permission to think differently and grow along with us in this, with like-minded entrepreneurs. I would like people to think them to ask themselves, are you a business owner or are you an entrepreneur? And to us, an entrepreneur is somebody that is constantly looking at their business. They're constantly trying to see if there's a better way to add value to their clients. And unfortunately, a business owner is someone that has just bought themselves a job. It's just, they're no different than an employee. They just happen to be an employee in their job. And oftentimes they may not even be the highest paid employee in that job, which is sad to say. So what we're trying to do is help people take control of their financial lives. And I believe by telling our stories, your story and my story, then people will start to identify that it's okay to think a certain way because other people have thought that way and they've moved forward in their lives. So I think this has been a wonderful podcast for us. And if you can now let the listeners know how they can contact us for more information.
Absolutely. So a couple of things. I do want to give away something today. I would like to give away the Entrepreneur's Cash Flow Generator Guide that we have created to help you as a business owner or entrepreneur, wherever you identify yourself today, to really be able to keep in control more of your money so you can get it working for you. So you can grab the link in the show notes or by going to themoneyadvantage.com. So again, you can go to themoneyadvantage.com. You can subscribe to our podcast there. You can also join the Money Advantage community to get emails about our podcasts, blogs, videos, or any tools that we share with you that we feel would be helpful to you. You can also follow us on social media, which we have Facebook and YouTube from that same moneyadvantage.com website. If there's anything particular that you've heard us discuss or touch on today that you have questions on or feedback or just want to know more about, we really encourage you to reach out to us at hello@themoneyadvantage.com. You can send us your thoughts, your feedback, any questions that you have, or you can even request a free conversation about your financial picture with either Bruce or I. And that's to help you discover dollars flowing out of your control, strategize ways to get more flowing back into your control so that the end result is more money to retain and utilize during your lifetime and more to pass on to future generations. So we really appreciate you guys listening to this podcast today. We hope that it was educational, inspiring, empowering, that it added value to your life. That's the most important thing for us. So again, this is Bruce and Rachel. Special thank you to you, our listeners. We can't wait to come back and share another topic on the next podcast very soon. Until next time, build a life and business you love. To learn how high-performing entrepreneurs 10x or more returns on liquid capital without giving up quick access to cash, go to themoneyadvantage.com/liquid-capital to get The Unfair Advantage, your 20-minute, easy-to-read guide on maximizing your savings.
Thank you for listening to the Money Advantage podcast. Today's show notes and resources are available for you on themoneyadvantage.com. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review. If you have any questions or desire to speak with a qualified financial professional after listening to today's podcast, we encourage you to reach out to us at hello@themoneyadvantage.com or check us out at themoneyadvantage.com. The opinions and views expressed here are for informational purposes only. This material is educational in nature and should not be deemed as a solicitation of any specific product or service. All investments involve risk and a potential loss of principal. Kalos Capital Incorporated nor Kalos Management Incorporated offer tax or legal advice. Please consult with a tax advisor or attorney for advice regarding the impact on your portfolio. Securities offered through Kalos Capital Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, and investment advisory services offered through Kalos Management Incorporated and registered investment advisor, both located at 11525 Parkwood Circle, Alpharetta, Georgia. E3 Consultants Group is not an affiliate or subsidiary of Kalos Capital Incorporated or Kalos Management Incorporated.